You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Thank you for joining us for the program. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the program brought to you by Concord Orthopedics, experts in specialty care. Check out the brand new website at concordortho.com. We're at Concord Orthopedics for our weekly spot as we're joined on the program today by Adam Androla. He is doctor. Specialty is primary care sports medicine, and he has a doctor of osteopathy degree. Hope I said that correctly.
Yes.
Bam. So it's a good start to the interview. I was able to nail that one. So let's first talk a little bit about what that is and the difference between your specialty and some of the other doctors that we hear from on the program, like Dr. Casey, Dr. Moran last week, and next week we were talking with Dr. Fox.
Perfect. So my medical school training, I guess, for the DO degree is there are two practicing physicians in the United States, both that all have the same rights to be able to practice medicine and surgery. There's actually the closest osteopathic medical school here in New Hampshire is actually in Maine that graduates DO students. And basically we do 4 years of medical school, like an MD school, plus we learn kind of a, it's a medical grade kind of combination between physical therapy and chiropractics on top of it. Then we also go to residency, and my residency was in family medicine for 3 years and then doing sports medicine. So I don't operate, but my niche is actually diagnostic ultrasounds along with therapeutic injections that are guided with the ultrasound, which is a huge part of my fellowship. But I also was the team doctor for the University of South Carolina, where I was one of one other fellow that took care of 550 Division I athletes, plus their coaches, wives, kids, from top to bottom, from primary care issues to sports issues.
So what was that experience like in that, the University of South Carolina is a major Division I football, basketball, other sports as well. And how did that experience kind of inform you to the position that you're currently in?
It just gives you all of those athletes need to be tip-top shape to try and get back to play, potentially go pro. The idea is really to work well with your team members to get them back out onto the court or field, being healthy, and make them the most competitive they can be.
So how do you kind of work with the other physicians here? And if an individual is coming in, let's say they have a sports injury, will you generally do the diagnostics on that and then make a determination as to what's going to take place? Or is there a referring physician that sends a primary care physician or a referring physician that sends the individual here to Concord Orthopedics?
So there are referring physicians that send into Concord Orthopedics. Kind of internally, the only thing you really don't do is surgery. And so if it's something where I work a patient up and it's a non-operative sort of thing, which 90% of orthopedics is, you stick with me and hang out with me and we hopefully get you back to where you want. If it's something where you are part of that 10% that is a surgical case, I have excellent surgical partners that I'd happily refer you to.
So when you mentioned you kind of combine the aspects of traditional medicine, chiropractic care, and physical therapy, what does that entail in terms of how you care for an individual?
It's more of kind of a head to toe and more of a I have a big emphasis on preventative medicine when it comes to athletes and being active, making sure just good warming up, good cooling down, good stretching techniques, what activities to continue to concentrate on, which ones to avoid, just really kind of a global perspective of are we accomplishing what the patient actually wants and keeping them active. That's it's a dynamic conversation. Certain things may change throughout over time. That can be as simple as you have a sprained ankle, you're 13 years old. The idea is making sure we transition you from a brace to just being more active out on the field to someone who's in their 70s or 80s that has decent knee arthritis and really saying that the Stairmaster is not going to really be your friend, but the bike will probably be something that would be better for you. And if that's something where you want to keep active and get your heart rate up, you won't rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, with making your knee bark at you all day long afterward.
a huge change that we've seen in professional and college athletics over the last 10, 15, 20 years has been trying to prevent injuries, and the amount of stretching that's done with, whether it's with bands, you know, used to, when I was a kid, you'd go to watch baseball players warm up. They would just kind of go through the motions along the foul line. And now, you know, they have trainers out with them and they're stretching and going through, you know, a pretty vigorous routine. And that's just what you see on the field as opposed to off the field. So what have you found, you know, in regards to preventative techniques, and what are some of the best preventative techniques for, you know, your weekend warrior type, or an athlete who's young, a kid per se?
So kind of some of the data that's really out there that looks good is there's a concept of something called a non-contact ACL tear. And that's something where doing certain pivoting type motions without being hit, and that's like classically you hear about like football, hockey, about mm-hmm. being spun around a knee and tearing an ACL. But there are certain athletes, particularly jumping athletes, and there's a little more propensity for females for this to happen too, because of certain muscle imbalances. And so actually doing an ACL prevention program in young athletes is shown to be quite helpful in trying to prevent those non-contact ACL tears, which obviously prevents you from being out, prevents you from having to have a surgery and having a more successful athletic career.
So that's something good for volleyball, basketball, soccer. And so what does that entail, and how do individuals find out about going to that type of program?
Usually that's something actually that most, I want to say, athletic trainers and more strength conditioning coaches are now working with. That's actually been pushed at the forefront, the idea of the preventative sort of side of things. There's tons of resources online when it comes to that too. YouTube has been a great resource of kind of watching how things are done, and it's sometimes I even reference, like, these are great videos to watch just to get a basic idea if I'm not able to use in words in the patient interaction to explain kind of what's going on.
Yeah, we see that on the Concord Orthopedics website now, as more videos explaining things, because it's difficult. And, you know, when you're talking about doing a program, you're like, oh, this is how you're going to stretch and this is how you do that. The retention aspect, the communication aspect, having, you know, a video where a person can, on their own time, without the pressures of trying to, you know, acknowledge that you understand what's taking place between the two individuals in the conversation, those are really, really helpful, and also allows for individuals to kind of repeat, because not every high school or program has that, particularly at a young age, where if a kid's in a rec softball, volleyball, or soccer league, it's good to start these preventative things, I think, at a young age, kind of develop that type of habit, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's more of like, and that's the, there was a big push at our national conference this year about actually sports specialization at a very young age. And it's, there's certain things that are still up for debate on the topic. But really, again, it's all about prevention as much as you possibly can in terms of an injury. Just making sure kids are out there enjoying themselves and continue with sport.
That's Dr. Adam Androla joining us here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. This hour of the program is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Concord Orthopedics. And you mentioned kids specializing in specific sports, and you see it happening as a father of a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old who play sports at a very young age. And the pressures are there to, if you're good, this is what you should do. Here's the teams you could do it with. You play this much. And, that's a direction that, parents are weighing going in, but particularly the sport like baseball, where the kids are very involved in, you know, you are concerned about overuse injuries. And are there particular things that, you mentioned ACL prevention, but you worry a lot, particularly for pitchers, about throwing a lot and throwing, in high leverage, even in Little League, high leverage situations where there's pressure, and each pitch has that an added bit of conviction to it.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into pitch counts now, and making sure the kids are safe and making sure that they're not overusing their shoulder or their elbow is really what you're worried about. You hear that infamous Tommy John mm-hmm. surgery and people blowing out their UCL ligament in their elbow. That's an 18-month recovery when it comes to that. And so it's a long sort of recovery and getting you back to where you need to be. And obviously it's all on the prevention side of things. The forces that go through that, when you talk about a pro pitcher, you're on the verge of breaking that tendon every single time you throw a pitch. And so the idea of proper mechanics, proper rest time, following the pitch counts, really staying on one team that has the pitch counts, because unfortunately we've seen kids on multiple teams while they're doing pitch counts for each team. Unfortunately, that's an over, like, you're doubling the amount of pitches right. The kid can safely do. And so again, it's allowing your kid to enjoy sport without taxing their body at a young age to make sure that they can go into where they'd like to go with their athletics. And kind of my little saying that I say now, and the last time I checked on this was about last year, is that there's never been a kid that's pitched in the Little League World Series that's ever pitched in the major leagues.
Wow, that's a really key point, because that's a really key point right there. And I think that parents, you know, if your kid's really good and you are playing on a rec league team, and then you're playing on an all-star team, and then you're playing on a travel team, so each coach wants to get that 75 pitch count for the the 9 to 11 year old, but you have to keep it at that 75 pitch count per weekend. And so as a parent, you have to be vigilant about that, as opposed to, kind of as you referenced, leaving it in the hands of the coaches.
Exactly. And it's like, that's where we want to create a good working atmosphere with everyone. I don't want to be walking around and kind of like, or no one wants to be walking around like pointing fingers or saying like, no, no, no. But making sure that, again, it's like, it's...
Well, the coaches may not know, as well. Like, is it on the coach to know what the kid's pitching? I mean, he should ask, in my view, and say, well, how much have you pitched so far this weekend? As opposed to just saying, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
I hear you, and it's again, it's a team effort. It's making sure that everyone's safe, enjoying themselves. The last thing you want is a parent, a coach, a physician, anyone that's involved in the kid's athletic experiences to get hurt from something that could be preventable.
And so, but that with the arm and pitching, it's, as you referenced, because of the motion of it, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of preventative, and obviously you're the doctor, but it doesn't seem like there's any preventative things that you can do. You can just basically limit your usage, correct? There's not any stretching, or are there techniques that you can do to try to minimize the abuse, if you will, on the shoulder and elbow?
Proper mechanics is a must mm-hmm. when it comes to that, because regardless of, if you're throwing sidearm, you're going to put a lot more stress through the elbow than you are if you're doing proper mechanics.
And that's why curveballs and sliders are pretty much off limits.
That for particularly for young ones, yes. And so the idea of that is making sure, again, it's preventative. You want your kid to be able to get to being teenager, 20s, if they want to keep throwing and things like that, they haven't trashed their elbow or their shoulder beforehand.
That is Dr. Adam Androla joining us here at Concord Orthopedics. You have an interest in archery, in fact, from what I understand, and competed in college. So tell us about that. Archery is a sport that really interests me, and you see it every now and then, but it's not something at the forefront. So what's intriguing about archery for you?
I tried it at summer camp when I was 10 with my dad, and I just really liked it. The cool part about it was when I was 13, I actually got to meet the guy who won the gold medal in 96. Mm. His name was Justin Hewish, and I thought it was really cool to hold the gold medal. And I said, that might be kind of cool to go after. Let's kind of see what this is all about. And there's something around the United States called the Junior Olympic Archery Development Program. And there was one kind of the town over from me, and just got into it and really excited and started competing. And kind of the pinnacle of my athletic career was when I was 20, I qualified for the World College team and got to compete in Spain for the United States, which was a ton of fun. But that's an interest of mine, of trying to keep particularly it's a very interesting sport because it's a lot of isometric contractions. Mm-hmm. It's very different than kind of the dynamic sports. But there is a Junior Olympic Archery Development Program here in New Hampshire, one that's actually based out of in the Bass Pro Shop here in Hooksett. And it's interesting to talk with them and kind of reminiscent of when I was a kid and watching people just enjoy the sport, and watching people that they just want to try it, to people that really want to be competitive and potentially go on a world stage.
To me, there's a lot of parallels between that and baseball, and that the repetition aspect, where you do everything in the same spot like over and over again, and also the mental gymnastics that go along, you know, with it. So that in making sure that everything is the same, the exact, and to not let your mind kind of play tricks with you and say, oh, things are off just a little bit, or is it set in the exact the exact spot they're supposed to be?
Exactly. You're always trying to define perfection. You're trying to find that where your body mechanics just becomes more automatic. You just try and get out of your own way, sort of a thing. And that's something I very much enjoy. It's one of those almost like out-of-body experiences.
That is Dr. Adam Androla joining us here at Concord Orthopedics. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1-800-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Concord Orthopedics.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.